Good morning. For New England Public Radio News, I'm Carrie Healy. Author Linda Mapes spent a year in the Harvard Forest in Petersham, Massachusetts, chronicling a single tree. This red oak stands in one of the oldest and most intensively studied research landscapes in North America. It's what was called a witness tree in the 18th century, a tree that stood tall through forest cutting and caterpillar infestations and used by surveyors as landmarks. I met up with Mapes recently, and we took a hike to see her witness tree.
MIT actually kicked in a so-called phenocam put right underneath my tree, and it is online. If you go to the Harvard Forest homepage and put in the words Harvard Forest webcam.
I'm such a geek, you know, I did.
And you can look at my tree. You can call it up anytime. It's called Witness Tree Cam. And you can watch the tree go through its day. You can check in. Back where I live in Seattle, I have actually been checking on the tree several times every day. This is like Facebook for nature.
Yeah, with network cables running along the forest floor.
They're everywhere, aren't they? Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about this place. It's a natural wood, but it's very heavily wired.
And then crawling over a stone wall.
Here it is.
Wow. Hey. There it is.
Here it is. My tree. I have spent so many hours napping under this tree, thinking, climbing, photographing, making notes, being with my tree. It's a very special tree, and it is a repository of so much time and so many memories, and it will persist long after I do. And that's how it is with trees. I think that's why we care so much about them. You know, people and trees. Trees are our oldest traveling companions. In a country as new as ours, trees are really our monuments. We don't have the very, 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 very old buildings that you'll come across in Asia and other places. What we have are our mountains, our rocks, our trees.
So you spent a year with this tree as your focus. For you, was that reveal of history too slow or too fast a pace, or was it just right?
It was delicious. Here's why. I'm a daily newspaper reporter, so we're very often on the chase after things. And to have the privilege and the opportunity through the Bullard Fellowship at the Harvard Forest to be able to focus and hold focus on one tree and look at its time in this New England wood was a rare and beautiful gift. It's been a meticulously observed place since its founding in 1907. And the archives here are among the finest that I have ever worked in as a researcher. There are very carefully kept handwritten stand records. So when I wanted to understand my tree and its life and times, I looked at those stand records and I found that it had survived the 1938 hurricane, while trees just right on the other side of that stone wall actually were flattened. It was just young enough to lie down and not be killed. I also got a very detailed sense of the human cutting that was done in this forest for various reasons, but it was never cut. It gave me a sense of the gypsy moth attack that happened in 1984 and other slights that had always seemed to just escape.
Speaking of forest pests, at one point in our conversation, we had to pause and swat at what seemed like millions of them.
These are black flies.
These are black flies. And were these like this much of the time that you were out here with your tree?
Actually, they are particular to the month of May, so they're right on time. Yeah. Here's the progression of bug. It starts with the black flies, and then come the mosquitoes, and all the time the ticks. And they all want the same thing, and that would be your blood. Mm-hmm. I come from the Northwest, which is a very benign place. Nothing is after you. So New England, to me, these bugs are the tigers of the Serengeti. It is unbelievable. They all want to bite you, and they do.
I live amongst trees and forests, so the smell reminds me of home. Mm. But you have a more scientific mind than I do. What does this smell mean for you, and could you describe it?
It's so funny you asked me that question, because a little earlier today I came out just to see my tree, because I hadn't seen it in a couple of months. And I was noticing, first of all, it was a mast year in the fall, so see all the acorns all around you. And I saw one that had just swelled and cracked and is starting to put out its radicle, so I put that in my pocket. Yeah. I'm going to put a moist paper towel on it and try to get it back to Seattle and try to sprout it. I would love to have a scion from this tree back home. But the other thing I noticed was a piece of bark that had at least two different kinds of lichen on it. Beautiful colors of green, still nice and wet and juicy from the rain. What was the first thing I did? I picked it up. And I smelled it. And that beautiful, fructifying, soil-licious smell. I mean, it's just penetrating and dimensional. And it took me right back to my childhood because I grew up in woods just like these. And that sense memory of smell, you know, science will only get you so far. Science is essential. But at the end of the day, we need the whole person. We need history. We need art. We need philosophy. We need spirit. We need appreciation. The living world needs all that we can give it to sustain it. And a big part of that is appreciation. And in my book, I was very intentional not to scare and not to scold. Everybody's already got too much of that in their life. I wanted people to be seduced. I wanted to let the tree have its way with them, to just tumble them into a deep affection for this beautiful world that we're so fortunate to share.
Linda Mapes' book is called Witness Tree, Seasons of Change with a Century-Old Oak. I'm Carrie Healy. This is New England Public Radio.